Crossed over.
I have no idea what that was, but I loved it.
That's how the Grammys opened last night.
Well, see, I missed the opening. Are you serious?
No.
Are you serious?
That's what I said. I said it first. Oh, shoot, I can't. Too early. Yeah. No. I blew it. No, yeah. I blew it.
And I have
now it's open. It's open season here.
I have an integrated one.
Oh. You got to wait.
No. Let's get this out of the way. Let's just get out of the way. I'm gonna recuse myself because I blew it. The theme had not ended. Once it ends, it's a free for all. Whoever speaks first gets it out of the way, takes the trophy for the night. Let's just let the music end.
That's
now,
great.
It could be the case that everybody here decides, no, I'm not gonna be a hog. Let's see.
Ma.
I knew you would do that. I knew it'd be you.
I was going to do it.
I knew.
I had to integrate one. He's a hog. He's a Mike hog.
I was just about to go. I was putting my lips together to go. Muh.
I had one email from somebody that said lose the muh thing.
It's stupid.
Of course it's stupid. That's why we do it. That's why we do cheese. That's why we do a lot of things.
Lose
the
cheese.
Stupid. That's right, Rat Boy. A lot of people think that's stupid.
Lose the muh.
How could that?
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the February 11th edition, the day before Abe Lincoln's birthday. His birthday is tomorrow. Yeah. On the eve of Abe Lincoln's birthday, the February 11th edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. Sadness is sort of overtaking me at the moment because just minutes ago, I received an email. I just checked emails just before we went on, and I received this email. Dear Frank, I was disappointed in your remarks relative to the demise of monarch butterflies. Now, let me stop and say this.
What?
I can tell from my emails, I bet half the people who listen to the podcast, because this is something we talked about like a week ago or more.
Oh, yeah.
I was disappointed in your remarks relative to the demise of monarch butterflies. I recall that not only did you state that you could care less, but your tone indicated that concerns over insects or other extinctions was trivial. Perhaps I misunderstood. Nevertheless, justified or not, I, longtime listener, no longer tune in.
Signed.
Yeah, he's listening right now. Signed, Frank, and I'm not going to give his last name. Well, Frank, and I wrote Frank back, and here's exactly what I wrote him. Thank you for the feedback and for the time you spent with us. That was it. But, Frank, I'd like to address you personally, if I could, because I know you're listening. Let me read your email again and sort of dissect it here. You were disappointed in my
remarks. Dissecting like we did butterflies in science class and stuff.
Cool. Oh, that PETA people don't like that. They don't like cutting on frogs in biology either. It says, Frank, I was disappointed in your remarks relative to the demise of monarch butterflies. I recall that not only did you state you could care less, but your tone, I love this part, my tone indicated, I didn't say this, but he says my tone indicated that concerns over other insects and their extinction was trivial. Well, Frank, let me address that. If monarch butterflies disappear, that would, of course, be a sad thing. They're beautiful. But if they're gone, I'm not losing any sleep over that, all right? Because if they become extinct, what it says to me is maybe it's the natural evolutionary process of the world. Maybe they're supposed to be extinct. Now, as far as my tone indicating that my concerns over insects or other extinctions was trivial, let me address that. If tomorrow all mosquitoes were gone, fine. That's fine with me. I didn't say I wanted them to disappear. I didn't say I wanted all of this or that species to die. But yeah, if there were no more spiders and no more insects, okay. I'm not going to, that doesn't upset me. So if that's what you heard in my tone, you were exactly right. You're correct. And then he says, justified or not, he even admits that even if he misunderstood me, he's never listening again. So, Frank, goodbye. And well, goodbye after you finish listening, because you're listening right now. And thank you for the email. I really appreciate it. Let me tell you something. People like Frank something. These people that get so all upset because somebody might say, wow, if we didn't have mosquitoes, that'd be a great thing. I wouldn't care. Nobody likes mosquitoes.
They carry disease.
And I understand that everything in the world is here for a reason. There's a reason for all of God's creatures there. But I also understand that sometimes things disappear. Let's just say dinosaurs. Am I glad they're gone? Yeah, I don't want to walk outside and be crushed to death or eaten by a dinosaur.
Or pooped on.
I'm glad they're gone. Or that could kill you.
Yeah.
Dinosaur pooping on you could kill you. So there's an example of something that's extinct, and yeah, I'm glad they're gone. Obviously we don't need them. We've survived pretty well for, I don't know, how many years, like a million without dinosaurs. And I got a feeling if nature eradicated spiders or mosquitoes, we would also continue to just, you know, go on. So thank you, Frank. I'm glad you're so sensitive to spiders and insects and monarch butterflies and all that stuff.
Maybe he's a volunteer or the general manager or something of the butterfly house.
Well, that could be. Maybe he's a little too close to butterflies. I like butterflies. I think they're pretty. They're pretty. But I read the article, said the monarch butterfly may become extinct. Well, maybe that's just nature. You know, everything's a trade-off. And then somebody goes, no, butterflies are dying because of, chemicals and weed killers and stuff. Well, okay, but the upside to that is we don't have a lot of weeds and stuff and things that you don't want growing places.
So they start, they go into a cocoon, and then they come out as a beautiful butterfly. And after they come out of the cocoon, the butterfly doesn't last that long, does it? I don't think it does.
I don't think it does.
A couple weeks.
Yeah, I don't think it lasts very long.
Not a very
like
long
month tops or something.
No, it's like I'm stuck
that's
in this
cruel.
Cocoon.
Nature's cruel. How about the animals that after, which they're, I don't right offhand remember which ones they are, but the ones when they have sex, then they die. The male dies right after he has sex.
Oh,
he finally gets to have sex, and he dies.
That's like spiders and stuff. Like, and I think the praying mantis as well, she eats the mate like as they're doing it.
Oh, yeah.
That's messed up.
She eats them while they're doing it?
Yeah, while they're doing it. Like, hey, what's up, buddy? You want some?
I'm a little hungry.
He's dinner.
Not a bad way to go when you think about it.
Sure, yeah. Well, as long as it's not painful. I think being eaten alive is probably painful. But then do praying mantises feel anything? I mean, do they have a nervous system? I don't know. But there's another one. If a praying mantis disappeared, who here would really be upset? Not me. I wouldn't even notice it.
And there's two of them that look alike. There's praying mantis and the walking stick. One of them is
they don't look alike. There's nothing alike.
No, they don't look anything alike.
Isn't the walking?
Are you talking about a stick insect? That's just
a walking stick.
A walking stick looks like a twig that moves. It doesn't look like a praying mantis. Praying mantis looks more like a deformed grasshopper or something.
Yeah. Is it,
they don't look alike.
Are they poisonous?
No, I don't think so.
No.
The walking stick is, poisonous. Right?
All right, what is... I'm going to have to Google this.
No, walking stick. I've played with walking sticks. They're not poisonous.
Uh-oh.
It looks like a twig that's alive.
My research fingers are already hurting for all the unanswered questions on the first 9 minutes of this show. The butterfly lifespan is a month. The praying mantises don't look anything like walking sticks.
Oh.
No.
No.
Dan was wrong.
They look like, stick insects.
They look like a twig.
They look like stick insects.
A
they
living look like twig.
Yeah.
They ought to be called insticks. Not insects, but insticks. They look like a stick. I do.
See what she does.
Now, we have to talk about something that's in the news. It's all over the news. And we have to talk about it. It's this blackface thing.
Oh.
I'm gonna read you a list of other people who aren't in the news who have worn blackface. Here we go. Desi Arnaz, Fred Astaire, Dan Aykroyd, Freeman Gosden, and Charles Correll. Those were the two guys who were Amos and Andy. Ethel Barrymore, Milton Berle, Jimmy Cagney, Joan Crawford, Bing Crosby, Billy Crystal, Ted Danson, Marion Davies, Robert Downey Jr., Judy Garland, Alec Guinness, Stan Laurel, Oliver Hardy, Benny Hill, Bob Hope, Boris Karloff, Buster Keaton, Hedy Lamarr, Janet Leigh, Harold Lloyd, Sophia Loren, Myrna Loy, the Marx Brothers, David Niven, Laurence Olivier, Will Rogers, Mickey Rooney, Frank Sinatra, Grace Slick, Spencer Tracy, Shirley Temple, John Wayne, Mae West, Gene Wilder, and all of the Three Stooges. All of those people have worn blackface. Now, when they did it, here's what I don't understand. There's a difference in doing something when you know it's offensive and you know it's wrong, and in doing it when you have no clue that you don't realize. There's a huge difference. Ted Danson still gets a lot of work. Nobody threw him under the bus or banned him. You know who should have been banned from showbiz forever is Whoopi Goldberg. Why isn't this addressed? Because Whoopi Goldberg accompanied Ted Danson to a Friars roast. It was roasting Whoopi Goldberg. He got up to roast Whoopi in blackface. Now, he got a lot of flack for it, but he certainly wasn't kicked out of the business. He used the N-word in his routine more than a dozen times. He gave explicit details of their sex life. He made a joke about having Whoopi clean his parents' house, and he ended his roast by eating from a tray of watermelon. Now, there were people there who got up and walked out. Montel Williams got up and left. Okay. The mayor, David Dinkins at the time, issued a statement and said Danson's jokes were way, way over the line. He didn't say anything about blackface. He says jokes were over the line. So all in all, he bombed, and it was kind of a disastrous performance. Now, when he got criticized, Whoopi Goldberg held a press conference in Beverly Hills, and she defended Ted Danson. She thought it was funny. It's all in good fun. Why wasn't she... Does anybody understand what I'm trying to get at here? Why didn't the black community go, oh, Whoopi, okay, that's it. No more Whoopi Goldberg. She condones Danson being in blackface. Nothing. Nothing. Danson still works. She still works. No big deal. Now, 30 years ago, 35 years ago, 40 years ago, yes, people wore blackface. I'm trying to come up with a good analogy of when you're young, you do something and you don't... I'll give you one. I grew up in Tennessee. I heard on an almost daily basis the N-word. And it wasn't used hatefully. It's just in the South a word that was used. And at the time, nobody using it thought they were doing anything wrong. If those same people did it today, okay, that's a whole different deal. Because now we know, it's like the word midget, all right? 20 years ago, if you said, there were a couple of midgets in there, nobody was offended by that. Nobody. It didn't mean anything hateful, they're just midgets. Oh, but of course now, little people, you're not supposed to say midget. I still say midget every once in a while. Not in front of midgets, because I'm not in front of midgets often. But do you understand my point? The blackface thing, yes, it's offensive. Now we know it's offensive. But if somebody did it a million years ago when they were young and completely did it without any malice, without any racism, Al Jolson made a fortune performing in blackface. And nobody stood up and said, get off the stage, well, you're never going to be a show. They loved his music. Yes, it's white people, I'm sure, who loved his music. There are things today that are wrong because now we know they're wrong. And when you do them, knowing now that it's hateful or racist, shame on you. But when you do things, and at the time, it's not considered by anybody to be hateful or racist. That's a whole different thing. It's like everybody wants to go back now and, you know, and crucify everybody who ever did anything in their life that by today's standards is offensive. Does any of that make sense?
Absolutely. Last year, the Me Too movement, it got to the point, and you joked about it on air constantly, that if you ever, any man who was ever guilty of leaning in to try and kiss a woman and was rejected was borderline sexually harassing her. And yeah. Now we're talking about this year, anybody who's ever worn blackface in a comedy skit that happened 20, 30, 40 years ago Now all of a sudden, that's harassment, or that, you know, that's racism. It was, what's next? What's next year's hashtag going to be? If I ever beat up somebody as a kid when I was 15, I beat up some 12-year-old, now I'm a bully, and I should be fired from my job because I beat up somebody 35 years ago? I mean, what's next?
You know, it's wrong now to punch somebody. If a guy just knocks another guy's teeth out, regardless of the reason, unless he hit first. But say the other guy didn't hit first. Here's another example. My dad. My dad was one of the quietest people I've ever known in my life. He didn't talk. He and I never really had a conversation about anything that amounted to anything. He was an introvert. He was almost silent. There'd be days where I don't think he even spoke. But one time, he was at work, and a guy called him a son of a bitch. And my dad said, you know, I don't want you to call me that again, because it implies that my mother is a bitch. And the guy says to my dad, and what are you going to do about it, you son of a bitch? And my dad hit him so hard, he knocked half his teeth out, he cracked his eye socket, broke his nose, one hit. And they had to take that guy to the hospital. And when he came back to work, he looked like the mummy. He was bandaged up. Not only did he not sue my dad didn't go to jail. He never, ever said anything like that to my dad. In fact, he avoided my dad. He tried to avoid him. He'd go around the corner if he saw him. He was scared to death of my dad. And my dad wasn't a scary guy at all. Now, does that mean my dad was a violent person? No. It means that back then, in the good old days, if you said something like that, or if you disrespected women and children, somebody would stand up and put your lights out. And rightly so. Can't do that anymore. Now you're violent. Now it's violence. You're arrested. You get sued. The difference is that today, if you hit a guy just because he said the F word in front of your kids, you're in trouble. Then you weren't. I prefer the old way. People were a lot more respectful and watched what they said. Now they don't. Nobody has any respect for anybody.
Before the days of movie theaters, when entertainment for citizens of this country 115, 120 years ago from where we're sitting right now was vaudeville, that's the whole reason why blackface is racist, is because they would have rather put black on their face to portray African-American characters in the vaudeville skits rather than actually have to pay somebody who was actually black to perform in those appearances. And so that I understand the basis of it being racist.
My favorite Uncle Bill, when I was young, I would have been 12, 12, 13. I went to a minstrel show in the high school auditorium, and my uncle was the
minstrel show. Yeah.
The old minstrel shows. And there was a guy who was sort of the MC, and he was the interlocutor. And everybody else on stage was in blackface. Now, my uncle wasn't in blackface, but he was participating in the minstrel show.
Everybody wore red.
And it was... No.
Mainly women, yeah.
No. All these other people were in blackface, and it was joke after joke after joke. And one of the blackface people would go, "Tell me now, Mr. Interlocutor, what's that say you say?" And it was the dialect of black people. They were hugely popular. Now, were they
in a bad mood when creating chocolate?
Did they only perform a couple of days once a month?
Is it something
one
they...
Week a month?
I know what you're doing, the minstrel thing. I know what you're doing. See, I'm not participating in that. My point is this. If anybody was stupid enough to, even privately, let's say at a Friars Club, try to put on a minstrel show with the interlocutor and all the blackface people, my goodness, you should never work again. You should be just hung out to dry. That was then, and this is now. And this stuff with the governor or the whatever, they were younger and dumber, and it is absolutely possible for people not to be the same people now that they were 20, 30 years ago, or at least know better than to do certain things. But, man, the way the world is now, it's like we want everybody to pay right now, today, for everything they ever did in the past. I don't get it. You can't say anything. You can't do like monarch butterflies. I get this guy Frank. I'll never listen again because you said you wouldn't care if there were no butterflies. I didn't say I wanted butterflies to die. I said if they, and I have no control over it, but if they are extinct. I didn't do it. It's not going to change my life. Okay, no more butterflies. And he takes it to mean I want all insects. I don't care about animals. Nah. Frank, relax. Okay, relax.
And the minstrel show, yep. When you walked in, they gave you the program, and it was on a maxi pad.
Okay. Any more? Any more minstrel? See, I don't think the ladies appreciate this minstrel thing at all. I want them to know, if they're listening, I was not a participant in that.
Bloody Mary's half price.
That's nervous laughter from me.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So, does anybody... But how about that list of blackface entertainers?
I know.
You think they're going to go after Dan Aykroyd now? Okay, no more movies for you, Dan.
Most of those people were dead anyway, so I don't think they're going to do
much.
Well, most
of them, not all of them. Robert Downey Jr. is not dead. Dan Aykroyd's not dead.
I like how Saturday Night Live was making fun of the Virginia governor by saying, of all the things this guy did, he tried to win a Michael Jackson impersonation contest with blackface. Could there be any worse imitation than blackface on a Michael Jackson imitation? They said the winner was actually a black guy who did whiteface.
Well, this is not my call to make because I'm not black. But if you're going to perform as a Billy Crystal, I know why they put Billy Crystal's name on there. The Sammy Davis Jr. impression.
Oh yeah.
I saw it years ago. He was a blackface, and he did a dead-on Sammy Davis Jr. Now, how can you do a great impression of Sammy Davis? I guess you could do it without the blackface, but wow, it made him really come to life. But
and
I'm
I
not
think,
black,
I
and he
think,
wasn't making fun of any, and he wasn't making fun of black people. It wasn't racist at all. It was a tribute to Sammy Davis.
And didn't
Jr.
he do that when Sammy was still alive? Because I think Sammy Davis liked it.
Well, it doesn't matter, Dan, if Sammy liked it or not. All that matters is the do-gooders want to put an end to that kind of stuff. And Billy wouldn't do it today. That's a given. He's not going to do it today. So does anybody have anything to say? It's been a nice, long three-day weekend. You surely have had something happen.
I have one thing.
All
did
right.
you call
Ladies
me Shirley?
I did call you Shirley. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Woodburn. You're welcome.
Thank you. The most aggravating thing that could have possibly happened to me today on a rainy Monday happened to me today, and I made a sound. I guess I have like three sounds. I've got like a loud voice, and then I've got a yell. And then I got a sound that scares my dogs. Right, like it's that last elevated sound, that barbaric yelp that the dogs just go. One goes flying up the steps under the bed. The other one goes out the doggy door in the backyard, and they're just getting out of Dodge because I've hit a different level of crescendo that they don't normally hear, and it scares them. It only comes out a couple times a year. It came out today. I called a government agency today and was given the voicemail prompt, put in your Social Security number, blah, blah, blah. I was doing something personal, and they said, well, we can put you on a callback list. We'll call you back sometime in the next 14 to 20 minutes. I said, fine. I put my number in. 14 minutes later, they call me back. Guy puts me through the phone, asks me through a whole rigor of questions, and he goes, and then by the time he realizes what I need, he goes, well, of course, sir, you need to speak to somebody in a different department. I'm gonna have to put you on hold, okay? Fine. So he puts me on hold. I'm on hold for about another 10 minutes. Got the phone on speaker. I'm doing computer work. I'm fine. The guy picks up, and, he was talking a little slow. He goes, thank you for calling the Social Security. This is Steven. Can I help you? I said, yeah. Hey, Steven, my name is Tim. Click.
After
all that, and here's where it gets worse. I'm like, all right, don't
we've
lose,
all,
don't
by
lose
the way,
Tim.
we've all had this happen.
Don't lose
all
it.
Of this nightmare.
Well,
we've all had it.
Here's where the nightmare got worse for me for the first time ever in my 49 and a half years on this planet. I called the number right back. I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to go through this whole process all over again. I called the number back, and instead of giving me the option of getting a call back, they make me go through all this process of punching in my social, punching in this case number, punching in this, punching in that, hit one, hit two, hit this, hit that. It takes about a 7-minute process to go through all that. They read me all this information. Then they say, all of our operators are busy attending to other customers right now. They don't give me the option for the callback. They say, please call back during our regular business hours between 7 and 9 a.m. or 2 and 5 p.m. After I went through all this, I don't even get the callback option. That's when I made a sound that scared my dogs. And this is how I was going to work something into this segment, which you'll understand in a minute. And the dogs went fleeing. I mean, the one went flying up the steps when I made a 6-second utterance. And the other dog went flying out the back door. And
was it the F word?
No, it wasn't. It was it was just a barbaric yelp. Like, it was just pretty much, yeah.
No, I know I can hear the sound because it, when that happens and you spend all that time and then finally they go back at another time again, you just hang up the phone and just want to go.
Well, I guess actually the F word was part of it, but it started with an M, so it was a really long 6-second M word. Yeah, no. But here's what I was going to tell this story prior to Limey. The Mike Hogg winning the muh contest.
You're welcome.
I was going to say, Frank, when my dogs fled, and one went out the doggy door, and one went flying up the steps, it reminded me of the scene in Jurassic Park when those dinosaurs were fleeing from the Tyrannosaurus Rex, who was chasing them. Do you remember the name of those dinosaurs? The Gallimimuses. I was going to tell that story and work muh into the Gallimimus.
And Limey ruined it for him.
Limey mowed my lawn.
Yeah, I did.
Mowed everybody's lawn. I'm actually the one that mowed it because I did it early, cue for anybody else to jump in. I ruined it for him.
My point to this is I motion, it doesn't have to be seconded, I motion that we extend the mug game, and it has to be something creative built into the show rather than just a flat out.
No, I like this. No, I like this.
Limey says no. Frank says yes.
I like it.
What about it, Dan?
You're the swing vote.
He's on the phone right now.
Oh, he says yes.
Yeah, of course he is.
That's the whole point of mutt is just doing it in like no absolute sense. Yeah, like you're just out of the way.
I like Tim's idea. Like for example, when the show starts and somebody's telling a story and they say, you know, there was another tribute to Mr. Rogers. Mr. wouldn't work because it needs to be. Hang on, I'll give you an example. I went to a sporting event, and that was great. And it was outside, and man, I had a great hot dog with mustard on it.
Well,
so it has to be muh. No, hey, be quiet, Randy. You don't even listen to the show. It has to be a word, either with muh in the middle or muh in the beginning or the end, and you tie. I like this idea.
The most politically incorrect character in the history of Hollywood is the character played by Ben Stiller in the movie Tropic Thunder, in which he was Simple Jack. And I don't know if you guys ever see that movie.
I know the movie and I know what it is, but I didn't see it.
He plays a severely mentally handicapped guy who stutters. And there's a line in there in which he says, I find myself happy with the simple things God gave me. And I was thinking about doing that one, and I'm like, you know what? I think that's even crossing the line for me to do that.
And here's the deal. Here's why it won't work. Here's the way we're going to work this starting tomorrow.
All right.
I'll give you another example. You know, it's been many years now since Fred Gwynne passed away. He was the guy who played Herman Munster.
Yeah.
Now then it's actually it's part of a word.
So we got to use it as part of a word now.
It can be a middle of a word, beginning of a word. The group from the 60s, the Mothers of Invention.
Oh,
that was
goodness.
A band. So you get see how it works? And if you incorporate it in the middle of a word, if you try to do... Ed, thank you, Ed. I just got an email from Ed. That thing you played at the very beginning, and I almost said, that sounds like Roger Miller. And it was. It was... from a Roger Miller song in Disney's animated version of Robin Hood. Yeah. Can you play it again? Are you able to play it again?
Give me a second.
I liked it. And I almost said, and that wouldn't work if you said Roger Miller. No, it's his name's not Roger Miller. It's Miller. That won't work. And
isn't
can you give
there
me
a guy
muh?
In
can
Washington?
You give me a muh minute? That won't work either.
It was, what's the guy's name in Washington? Muh.
Robert Mueller.
Yeah,
that
Robert
will
muh.
Work. The guy who's doing the investigation, Robert Mueller. See, that passes.
Well, see, the sound I made when I got upset today started with a muh.
No.
But I couldn't finish it.
Oh, here's another example.
Oh.
One of my favorite actresses, and I saw her in a movie just last night, is Emma Stone. So, see, that works because it's got muh in it. And by the way, The movie that I watched it. I can't believe I finished it because my wife and I both watched it because we've heard for years, oh, this is one of the all-time great romantic comedies. This is one of the worst things I've ever seen. Love Actually with Hugh Grant. Oh, bleh, oh.
Well, you don't like Hugh Grant.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't like the movie, and I sure don't like Hugh Grant. I don't get Hugh Grant's appeal to women. He's a girly, effeminate, you know, there's nothing about him. He's not Sean Connery or something, or even George Clooney or Brad Pitt. He's Hugh Grant. And what a horrible movie. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I think it's a great movie.
Oh, you think it's great because it's a British movie. It's
and
all
you
British
hate
people.
It because it's a British movie.
He no, probably, that's not why at all.
Hugh Grant's probably happy that you don't like him.
You want to hear this Robin Hood thing?
I'd like to hear it again. This is Roger Miller, and I thought it sounded like him, and Ed here confirms it. Go ahead.
I've got the whole one as well, if you want to hear that.
Oh, yeah.
I love Roger Miller. So, Limey, are you familiar with Roger Miller?
Not really, no.
Oh, my goodness. Dang me, ought to take a rope and hang me, chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug. Roger Miller was a very strange songwriter and singer. I mean, just strange, but brilliant.
Out from the highest tree. Woman, don't
pull
wait
up,
for me.
Pull up, Limey, just so you'll know who. Pull up Dang Me. It's just called Dang Me, Roger Miller, and we'll play a little of it, and you'll get a little education into music from our past that you're not aware of.
Oop, I've got a commercial. 1 second.
That's all right. And Chug-a-Lug, Chug-a-Lug is the other one. Those are King of the Road. My goodness. Here we go. Crank it up.
Well, here I sit a high, getting ideas. Ain't nothing but a fool to live like this. Out all night, running wild. Woman sitting home with a month-old child. Dang me, dang me. They ought to take a rope and hang me high from the highest tree. Woman, would you weep for me?
Right, and that's pretty much the way the whole song goes. Now pull up Chug-a-Lug, Chug-a-Lug. This is a great song. And his most famous song, King of the Road. Wow. I mean, what a great
now that
piece.
Song
and, he wrote this stuff. So Chug-a-Lug, I want you to hear this. Crank it up. Here we go.
Chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug. Make you want to holler, howdy-ho. Burns your tummy, don't you know? Chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug. Grape wine in a mason jar. Homemade and brought to school by a friend of mine after class. Me and him and this other fool decide that we'll drink up what's left. Chug-a-lug, so we help thyself. First night for everything, my ears still ring. Chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug.
And that's the whole song. He goes on about drinking this homemade wine. And then there are others too. Engine Number 9 and oh my goodness, Husbands and Wives. A lot of so Roger Miller was had a serious addiction problem. And you know, like a lot of showbiz people, and died too young. But thank you for playing that thing at the beginning of the show. I really liked it. Anybody else for the Burke segment?
Nope, I got nothing. Dan's on the phone right now.
No, let's just give him a minute. He's
old. You're right, and we do have Blind Bob on the phone, by the way.
Yeah, Blind Bob's called. I'm fine right now. I don't need to. Mine can wait. Segment.
Well, yes. let's bring Blind Bob in here. Blind Bob, welcome back to 590 The Fan. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I am AM in the PM.
Well, of course you are. Of course you are. What's up?
I'm going back to work next week for however long they want me to work for them. I'm going back to work for the lighthouse.
Good for
and,
you.
So I'm looking forward to that. I've been there off and on for 6 years. The calls are kind of intermittent, but
now,
I'm going back
what
next
you,
week.
What will you do there? What will your job be?
Guide the ships.
I will.
Uber drive everybody to work and back?
Yeah, right. I'm going to bring clients back and forth to
now,
work.
What will you really be doing?
I'll be packing. Probably packing cans. Packing cans and boxes and sending them on their way.
With products made by blind people?
Yes. Well, some of the stuff, yes, all of it is made there. A lot of times the that's hard to explain. Some of the materials are shipped to us, but we do all the packing and they do a lot of in-house stuff.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I used to get light bulbs from them. Would that be accurate?
That is, and the name of that place. No, it's a different place. It's called Carroll Distributing, known as something else now.
It's light bulbs for the blind.
Yeah.
Remember that lighthouse light bulbs?
No. Hey, Dan, that would make too much sense.
Oh.
Yeah. So that was not Lighthouse. That was another organization.
No, it was another group. Yeah.
And by the way, they weren't any good. The bulbs always burned out.
I know.
Like 6 weeks. I mean, they were horrible.
No, they did.
I reordered them like 4 or 5 times because I felt bad about not giving them business. But then I thought these bulbs are terrible.
You know. Yeah. You know what? I have an interesting story about them. I called them and this gal that was their phone person. I said. She said, would you like to order some bulbs? And I said, well, no, not right now. And so several weeks
later.
Hold on.
She called you not knowing you're blind, wanting to know if you need light bulbs?
Right, right. And I said, well, not, not right now. So they called me several weeks later and I told them and I said, finally I called her supervisor and I said, you know, she's talking to a blind person. I said, I don't need any light bulbs. Will you please take my name off your list? That lady didn't have a job after that.
Well, had you told them before you were blind and they still called you?
Actually, I thought I had told them. This was a bunch of years back. I can't remember if I told them right after, the first time they called me. Hey, Tim, it's good to have you back.
Thanks, sir.
You know,
I have to admit something, Bob. A couple of times, I have said I was blind, and I'm not blind, just to get rid of a salespeople on the phone.
Oh, do it. I would.
I'm not kidding. I've also said that I was that I couldn't walk. Depending on what they're selling. Oh, no.
Oh, they're always wanting to sell me braces.
Like
the
what,
big
leg
thing
teeth?
Now is...
Leg braces?
What
kind of?
Neck braces.
Neck braces?
Knee braces.
Who calls people and says, do you need a neck brace? What kind of business is that?
Oh, yeah.
Just randomly, you need a neck brace?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Huh. Well, because they must look. See, I do receive Medicare and Medicaid, so they probably look through the list and say,
injuries. That's
a person that needs, let's call him. He may not, he's blind, but he must have other issues, too. So,
hey, I know you're married and your wife is wonderful, but if you think blind people who, are there blind, I guess there are blind people who live alone and they don't have anybody sighted. And
there are.
Wow, I was thinking about this just like 2 days ago, thinking, what would that be like if you didn't have anybody,
And a lot of them qualify for people, they can get aides to help them with their mail. I'm ordering a machine now that I can put printed stuff on it and read it.
How about cooking?
What does it?
If that's a good question.
Now, I was never a good cook. My idea of cooking is pull it out of the box and throw it into the microwave.
Yeah.
So you have a braille microwave? I mean, how do you know how many minutes you're putting in there?
I have a piece of tape over over certain things. Since this microwave here belongs to the complex, it's touch sensitive.
Right.
So I have pieces of tape on the different things that I need. Actually, I do. I know measurements. I know tablespoon and teaspoon, and I did take a home ec course, but I forgot a lot of what I knew.
You know what I watched? I watched last week again the movie Ray with Jamie Foxx, the story of Ray Charles. The first time I saw it, I missed something that I caught this time. And that's when he would do a gig, everybody got paid in cash, and he demanded they pay him in $1 bills. So if he got 50 bucks for the
money,
he wanted them to count. No, this Brit's brilliant, because then they couldn't cheat him. Because if they... let's say they laid three bills in his hand and said, okay, that's a 20, and a 10, and it was really just $3. He said, no, I want 50, I want to feel $51. That way they couldn't screw him. I thought that was really interesting.
Oh, yeah, I know blind people. You know, you hear the saying, nobody'd stiff a blind person. Well, I know somebody that got
stiffed. They would.
They don't care. I mean, it doesn't make any difference, you know. Especially now, you were talking about how things have changed. You know, people, you know, you can't, it seems like there's more given to the person, more rights are given to the person that commits the crime. I mean, that commits the crime than the ones that have it happen to them.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, it's good to hear. Yeah. Good luck with congratulations on going back to work.
By the way, I loved Roger Miller's version music. And there's a if you are all well, you can't play it over the air, but there's a song that he wrote, and I don't know if he wrote, but it's a recitation, and it's called Vance. If you ever get a chance to just play it on your own, it's a deep song. It's a very It's
right, what's it called
about
again?
A guy
what's,
who was
what's
short.
The name of it?
Vance.
It's called Vance.
Vance, like a guy, like a guy's name.
Right.
No, I thought I'd heard everything Roger Miller did. I've never heard that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think it became a very big hit, but I happened to have it on a collection that they put out.
How long is it? Is it a standard?
That's about
song
5 minutes.
Length?
It's about 3 to 5 minutes. Sure.
Is it something we could play, or would it bore people?
I don't think so. I think it would be interesting to the listeners. It isn't boring. He does a great job with it too. You don't hear him speak many things, but he does great with that.
No, we'll find it and we'll screen it, listen to it, and if we think people want to hear it.
If you like it, I think it'd be great. And again, Tim, good to have you back.
Thank you, sir.
Love.
I think you said
report.
That enough. I think one time would have been enough for the Tim thing.
What? I couldn't. What, Frank? I didn't hear you. What?
I think complimenting Tim on being back once is enough. We don't have to overdo it.
Oh well,
it, you know?
Yeah. Well, that does give him a big head, I guess, but.
Well, he had that anyway.
Oh,
Blind Bob,
I knew that
nice
was coming.
Blind Bob, always a pleasure. Don't be a stranger.
Yeah,
congratulations on the job.
I'll be back.
All right. Thank you, Bob. Bye-bye. Blind Bob, the great Blind Bob. Been listening forever. Well, not literally forever, but, you know, like 20 or 30 years or something. I do some business. The business of Window World. We had a lousy winter. Cold, nasty weather. And I think that probably when windows are sort of on the brink, about to go bad, I think that probably just pushes them over the edge. They can't take that stuff. And then they start giving away around the edges. And time to replace them. And when the time comes, if you're AM and the PM, and if you're listening, you are. I mean, I don't even have to say if you're AM and the PM, because you are listening right now or on the podcast, and you'll hear this show tomorrow. That means you're AM and the PM. And if you are, here's your window, Window World. We've never forced, we can't, it'd be impossible, we can't force you to buy Window World windows. How would we do that? We wouldn't know. There could be an AM and the PM person go buy another window, and we would know. But your conscience would bother you. You'd toss and turn at night, knowing you have nightmares. knowing you bought another window, and you call yourself AM and the PM, and you want to support this show, yeah, you probably have to go to a psychiatrist. And the bills would start stacking up. And you'd hate yourself. See, it's not worth it. Window World. You need windows? Window World. The number one selling replacement window in the United States. Good housekeeping seal of approval. 18 months. Same as cash with approved credit. Everything you need to know is at windowworldstlouis.com.
Let's get a check on traffic with Tori Lyons.
Traffic is sponsored by Sinex. If possible, you'll want to avoid the area of 70 and 270 this afternoon. There are accidents northbound 270 south of 70, westbound 70 before 270, westbound 70 ramp 2, southbound 270. And if that wasn't enough, westbound 70 at Earth City Expressway, an accident. Brake lights westbound 64 at Kings Highway, westbound 44 at Hampton. If you've got the dreaded stuffy nose this cold and flu season, try Sinex Nasal Spray. A couple of quick sprays of Sinex and it starts to work in seconds. Be ready when congestion strikes. Sinex Nasal Spray. Use as directed. I'm Tori Lyons reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the large morning show in the afternoon.
Grizz Nation, get your tickets to watch Jaren Jackson Jr. face LaMarcus Aldridge and the San Antonio Spurs Tuesday, February 12th at 7 p.m. You don't want to miss this Western Conference showdown. Call 901-888-HOOP or shop grizzlies.com today.
The McBride Homes Union Stimulus Program is back. McBride has teamed up with the local construction unions to bring you the best home buying opportunity of the year. Buy now and get McBride Homes' best deal on a new home. Plus, get an additional $2,000 to $10,000 cash for use at closing from the local unions. It's the Union Stimulus Program, and it's only during the month of February. McBride has over 40 communities across Metro St. Louis with homes at every price point and for every lifestyle. Visit McBrideHomes.com for details on the Union Stimulus Program.
Grizz Nation, you don't want to miss the Grizzlies as they face Doc Rivers and the Los Angeles Clippers Friday, February 22nd at 7 p.m. The first 5,000 fans will receive a Jaren Jackson Jr. shoot dance figure. Grab your tickets by calling 901-888-HOOP or shop grizzlies.com today.
All right, I have 2 minutes to talk to John. John, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Well, Frank, long time no see, and talking to you. AM and the PM.
Thank you.
And I won't say anyway. I always get accused of doing that. But
okay.
I'm looking at a picture, and this is 65 years ago, and my one aunt had put on a benefit for my one cousin that had polio.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a picture of 20 of us kids, and they were well-to-do. They had like a hardware store in North County, not North County, but Hillsdale, Normandy area. And mm-hmm. It's a minstrel show is what they did.
Right.
And I'm 4 years old doing it, and I'm looking at this picture where this gal's playing a trumpet, and it was all innocent. It, you know, it was to raise money, and nobody was prejudiced. And, you know, and in fact, one of the people in the picture, and I still know him, he was a carpenter, and we both were, and his son was, had a prominent office in Missouri, and I'm not going to say his name or anything like that, so. But you know what? I guess, I don't know, things are getting too politically correct, and feel bad about that. You know?
Well, your family depicted in those pictures would not do that today, and they meant no harm, and there was no hate. They were raising money for polio victims. They wouldn't do it today, and that, to me, that's what matters. They did it at a time when it was not done with any intent. To spew hate or to be racist.
No.
We got to run. Thank you. That's a great example. Yeah, that's right. March of Dimes. I appreciate it. Thank you, John.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, we come back out of the news. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to check in with John Landoff. I'm going to send you to the dentist. And then Josh Bauman, who is just wrapping up in the green room. He's been in there for not very long, 15 minutes. Apparently, they have a new sort of express service. I don't know what it is, but it's something that he got done in about 15 minutes in the green room. Maybe he'll tell us. Maybe he won't. Maybe it's too personal. Nonetheless, he'll be here in the 4 o'clock hour to talk tech talk and answer some of your tech questions. We appreciate that you're with us. Don't go anywhere. It is 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is 590 The Fan. KFNS, Wood River, St. Louis, and 590thefan.com, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. Congresswoman Ilhan Omar is unequivocally apologizing for remarks she made about Israel and Republicans. The Minnesota Democrat, who is a Muslim, suggested Republican support for Israel is fueled by donations from a prominent pro-Israel group. NBC Capitol Hill correspondent Casey Hunt says Omar has issued a new statement.
She says, quote, "Anti-Semitism is real, and I'm grateful for Jewish allies and colleagues who are educating me on the painful history of anti-Semitic tropes. My intention is never to offend my constituents or Jewish Americans as a whole."
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and other top Democrats had demanded